Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 61 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning. 0100 hours. Cloudy. 75 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning. 0200 hours. Cloudy. 59 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning. 0300 hours. Cloudy. 57 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning. 0400 hours. Cloudy. 55 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning. 0500 hours. Cloudy. 57 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning. 0600 hours. Cloudy. 57 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint.
KB8OOE.
Connected to CMN Network. WHCMN, Repeater Flint.
KB8OOE.
Good morning. 0700 hours. Cloudy. 57 degrees. Good morning. 0800 hours. Cloudy. 55 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. You're connected to CMN Network. Good morning. 0900 hours. Cloudy. 55 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Currently connected to CMN Network. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning. 1000 hours. Cloudy. 57 degrees. connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning, 1100 hours. Clear. 66 degrees. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. You're connected to CMN Network.
WAMWG Hubble listening.
Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. Good afternoon, 1200 hours. Cloudy. 66 degrees.
W8NWG Mobile listening with ears.
You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, Repeater Flint.
W8NWG Mobile listening.
Currently connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. Good afternoon, 1300 hours. Cloudy. 66 degrees.
WFSM Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Clear. 73 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Cloudy. 72 degrees. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. Currently connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Cloudy. 72 degrees. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Cloudy. 72 degrees. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. Good evening. 1800 hours. Cloudy. 73 degrees. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. Connected to CMN Network.
KB8OE.
You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, Repeater.
Good evening there, Mike. WAA 30. Hey, how's it going, Ward? I'm heading back to my place to stack together some starter strips and some frames. I got a bunch of hive manipulation to do tomorrow before we head up north.
I envy you. You get to get away. I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm just kind of stuck around here for right now. But, do you have 6-meter capabilities?
Not currently. I don't know if I could force that SDR rig to do it and do it cleanly or not.
No, okay. I heard a couple guys on the Clarkson today talking about 6 meters and how it's just not used. And for the last 2 days, 6 meters was pretty much wide open. I could hear Florida very well. Couldn't get back to him, but I could hear them. But he just had a huge pile of guys trying to get back to him, so it didn't surprise me that I couldn't get back. But so these guys down in Clarkson were talking about, you know, how 6 meters just isn't used unless people find a band opening, but they don't use it locally. And I thought, you know, he's right. Nobody's using it locally, and yet almost every rig today comes with 6 meters on it.
It'd be a nice one for 5/8 too. I could call in here. Like a Super J, you could build something with some serious gain, I think. Omni.
Yeah, I would think so. All I have up for 6 meters is a dipole in an inverted V. And, you know, all I can say is it works great for receive. Not so sure how well it does getting out since I've never made a contact.
I've used it. I've even used it on repeaters, but right now I don't have a rig currently that will do it. I was going to get a transporter for my Elinco low-powered outfit. I'm looking at making some amps, but, you know, wanting to and doing it are two entirely different things. And we're unloading, and then we're going to move, and then things will probably change then.
You know, life's all about priorities, and it's, you know, what you got going in your life and what your livelihood is, and all that stuff. You know, it's just a big pack of cards, and you don't get to shuffle them and just deal them out. You've got a set hand you have to play, and, you know, sometimes throwing a couple cards away and drawing new cards works, sometimes it doesn't work, but at any rate, it usually creates more work. Hi.
I had a buddy that was a technician, and I told him to leave 10 on 28 400, and he did, and it opened up just enough where it lit up because he was crying about not having a general license, and I told him leave that 28 400 on, or 28 385, or any number of frequencies around there, leave it on, turn your squelch up, and when that thing opens up. So he did end up doing the same thing on 6 meters, and it opened up. And we're supposed to have one hell of a light show here with the sunspots are doing something, and I haven't looked it up because I've been just too busy in the bees. But we're supposed to get a show, and I think that would probably make some things rock pretty good too.
Yeah, it's been a crazy summer in more ways than one. And like I said, I don't know how many years I've been doing this, but it's the first time I've actually heard someone on 6 meters. But I'm not often near my radio all day long, et cetera, blah, 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 as much as I have been the last few weeks. So, you know, when I heard somebody say 6 was open, you know, I ran right over the radio and cranked it up, and I went, by golly, look at that. It is. And, again, I tried to get back to him. I think the guy heard me for just a brief second. You know, he was trying to get my call squared away, and then, boom, it was gone. You know how that goes. But the band didn't close. It's just other people were louder, and he couldn't hear me anymore. And but anyway, it was kind of fun. But locally, you know, you don't worry about that whole band opening thing. Six is should be able to be used locally for a net or something, or just to get together once a month or every other week, or I don't know, just something crazy, just to say I used it. W8RD.
W8OOE. Yeah, I agree, Ward. And like I said, you can do a J on 10, and they've got antennas that'll, you know, they've got collinears, I believe, they're 24-foot long omnis. You could easily do that on 6 with a vertical and really get a signal. You can get around 5-6 dB on there and put 100 watts, 200 watts into it. As far as ground wave, that would be, well, they used to use 42 megahertz on the police. You know, they used that forever, 42 and I think 46 locally. And they didn't have all these towers all over with 800s, so they used those almost exclusively forever.
W8.
Yeah, and crazy as it sounds, that most of those were low-wattage rigs. Yeah, though they weren't pumping out 100 watts. They were pumping out 20, 25, or 30 and making it work. Of course, you know, you remember back in the day, you'd see them big, long whip antennas on the back of the cop cars. And, boy, you don't see that anymore. But yeah, the whole thing. So then that's the next thing, you know. If we tried to do something locally with 6, would we go single sideband? Would we go FM? You know, what would be the protocol?
For the most part, up relatively close, 6, it takes some elevation, just the same. For ground wave, the more you get VHF locally, it would help. I don't think there's a whole lot of cloud burn in action above like 30 meters. So you're waiting on skip, you know, for those higher bands like that. But there's a few repeaters, and then once it opens up, you can work those repeaters as well, the different tones. So there's a few repeaters, but I would say single sideband, a little bit higher wattage for most of it. I should pick up an old rig that's got 6 on it, because a lot of them had it.
Yeah, I know. I think all three of my rigs have it. I think the 450 has it. The 991 has it, and the 710 has it. I got to check the 450, though. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think it has 6 meters.
I believe you're right. I think the 450 had 6 as well. Maybe not, but usually when they got 6, they're all mode too, so it gives you the option, right? You can do FM. Some of them got PL, at least PLN code, the older rigs.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so do both of my, I know the 710 and the 991 both have that. And in fact, the 991, I've got it in the storage right now because it's not functioning properly. And I programmed what were supposed to be repeaters, 6-meter repeaters, into that. But they're not local. They're like down in Toledo or someplace. But, you know, again, never heard them.
There was a guy up in, I'm wanting to say he was in Kingston, that had a 6-meter repeater. And I don't know, I haven't heard that guy in a long time. He could have died. That happens.
W8CMN, repeater Flint.
Yeah, that happens. That, that gets inevitable.
You know, one of them old Amish proverbs, you know, sometimes the young die, the old must.
Yeah, can't live forever. Yeah, a friend of mine just lost his father this week, and I had to send in condolences. His dad was 91. I said, you know, 91, that's a good run. And my mother turned 93 last week. Again, that's a good run. So, but that just means the days are numbered. So I'm hoping to avoid that for another 20 years. Who knows? But anyway, think over that 6 meter thing. I think it's an intriguing idea.
I got a pile of beams for two. And I wouldn't, still, I know I talked to you about it, but like I say, life gets in the way. I do have transverters and SDR rigs that'll make a really clean 2 meter signal, and I want to do some of that to do digital on the bottom of two and 440 at some point in time. I think I got at least one 440 beam, but those are a lot easier to stack up. There's not much to them, you know.
Yeah, I've got that little four element up on the roof of the garage, but I put it vertical, and I'd like to move it to horizontal, but, you know, the old doctor told me stay off ladders, so I'm behaving, and I'm staying off the ladders for now.
Oh, yeah, I got to go in and get some more tests run. I got that BRCA mutation. They found that. I've been after them to do it for about 4 years, and they've finally done it, and sure enough, I've definitely got it. And that explains a lot, but I got some more tests to run there, but hopefully the heart stuff stays away for a while. Sternum's still healing, and I sneeze so hard I can't help it, you know. I just know that's about half of the problem, but it's getting to the point where it's almost fused. I just don't know if it's ever going to completely. And everybody I've talked to, probably three-quarters of them, it never does.
Yeah, that goofy stuff, you know, sometimes runs in a family. You know, you kind of sit there and say, it's going to miss me, and then all of a sudden, boom, didn't miss me. It just waited a couple extra years to show up.
50-50 if you got one parent that carries it. 50-50. I was like, wow, that's better than lotto odds, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I keep saying about this heart condition. It's has nothing to do with genetics. I just decided to be the weirdo of the family and have an issue. So, but you know what? I'm good with it. I'm okay. We're going to beat it. We're going to move on, and life's going to be good. Yeah, life is good. What the heck? What am I saying? Life's good. I just had to slow down a little bit, that's all.
Day this side of the dirt is a good, good day. And I'll tell you what, it was a little chilly this morning, but the rest of the day was beautiful. We were out there working bees until she couldn't no more. She had to come in and go to sleep. She just went to work. So she's only doing about six. But she's going to sleep on the way up north after we get everything loaded up. We're going to try to go again.
Well, like I said, I'm envious. Hopefully this fall I'll be able to slap the trailer back on the truck and head out for, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, a month, I don't know, a year. Something, you know. Had lunch with a friend of mine today, and he was saying they're thinking about taking off and doing what I did a few years ago, go up to St. Ignace and jump on two and head west and just keep going. And I said, you know what? That's one of the best trips I've had, was jumping on US 2 up there and just going slow, taking it easy. I stopped at every town, no matter how big or small. And I just had a great time exploring America.
Going up and over like that, it's horrible to miss Chicago. Yeah, we went as far as, the last 2 years, we went as far as up into the top of the Keweenaw, as far as going across. And you know, I yelled CQ on 14652 a bunch of times and actually talked to people. And I'd yell about every 10, 20 minutes coming across on two. And I've talked to a couple of the guys down here they tune in on the link, and the one guy built a pole barn up there, and he was intended on using that pole barn to collect all his house pieces and build a house up there. But I can't remember his name, but he gets on here too once in a while. KB8OLE.
Yeah, real good. Yeah, you know, traveling the country, that's and with a ham radio in your vehicle is fun if you can get somebody to talk to. And I'll tell you, even with the ID5100, where I can search out different areas and find the repeaters and plant them in there, it's still, there's just nobody using the repeaters. But I did, guy, I was thinking I was coming across Kansas. And again, like you said, on Simplex, and I just put out a CQ, and lo and behold, the guy answered, swung his beams around at me, and, you know, we were able to talk for about 15 minutes before I was out of his range. But that was fun. I really enjoyed that.
I'd imagine single sideband calling on 6, you'd probably get some action out there in the flatlands, Nebraska, you know. There's a reason they call some of those states plain states, because they're the plainest states you ever seen.
I know, but, you know, I was talking to my friend about that today. I said, for whatever reason, I'm drawn to those areas that you know, where you can just see forever. You can just stand in a spot and you can see 50 miles. Just thrills me for some reason. And to drive across those and just keep seeing new vistas. Some people find it boring. I didn't, because I like stopping at all those little towns and stopping at the restaurants and having a piece of pie, cup of coffee, whatever, and talking to the residents and getting to know them a little bit and then moving on to the next town. And I tell you, that if you want to restore your faith in America, that's how you do it.
Yeah, what I noticed out there in some of those states, that there's 5 trees, there's a house under it. And then my buddy's dead now. He pancreatic cancer got both him and his dad. He, talk about hereditary. Jeez, Pete. He was quite a bit younger than me, too. But anyways, we were coming across there, and you probably heard me tell the story. We stopped at this. There's like a catwalk over the road over to this mall thing, and it's right around there somewhere, this side of it, I think. Stopped at the station, we get out and we're pumping that Corvette back full of fuel. And I says, hey, I said, look at that sign up there. I says, what's that say? He says, you are now here. I said, that's not what it says. Yeah, it is. Look at it. I said, no. You know, and I, like Mr. Murphy, am an optimist. I says, Doug, I says, it says, you are nowhere.
Yes, and both interpretations are probably correct.
Yeah, man, it was miles from nothing. We would go, well, after they start punching those wells down and putting those big tanks out there in the middle of nowhere, we would go like an hour without seeing anything. It was not even an opposing car coming at us. And we rub that Corvette up. I bet you we're going 130, 135 across that desert for a good long stretch.
Yeah, W8RD. Yeah, if you come across 50 across Nevada and Utah, it's like that. You can drive for 2 or 3 hours and not see a sign of a human being anywhere. No houses, no car. Not pass another vehicle on there. I literally did that. I was 2.5 hours by myself out there driving 55 miles an hour and never saw another human or a building or anything. Not even a power line anywhere. And I thought, this is great. This is awesome. I had no idea there were places like this left in America. The only sign of a human being was the road I was on.
KB at OLE, you know, you can buy that land by the square mile out there, but when we left Colorado, and he said, oh, we got a prairie dog, you know, shoot some prairie dogs. He said, I swear to God, they're cannibals. You shoot one, and then, you know, the other ones will pop their heads up, and you can shoot them, and, you know, the farmers want you to clear them because they'll break a cow or horse's leg walking through the field. and he says, it's a blast. He says, you sit there with a case of beer and a 17 or something and, you know, just reach out there and pop them. And he says, so you tell me about this. We're coming back across. Let me catch some time. So we're coming across, and we get to Nebraska. And I'm like, I'm so unimpressed with parts of Nebraska. Not all of it. Now, there's some nice places there. Don't get me wrong. But I said, and we've seen a couple of missile silos on the way to us. That, them are missile silos, aren't they? He says, yeah, they look like it, don't they? I'm sure they were. So anyways, we're coming across there, and there's nothing. I said, you know, it's so rough here. I said, they couldn't raise hell on it with a hatchet. And I says, I says, it's so bad here, the prairie dogs don't even want to live here. I said, look around, see if you can find any mounds. And he looked, and he said, you're right, there's nothing.
Yeah, some people call that God's country. Yeah, I had a story about the prairie dogs. Last time I was out to the Badlands in South Dakota, I was talking to a young lady there. She was fantastic. She was, I don't know, in her late 20s. And she had never stopped there. She grew up not 50 miles from the Badlands and had never been to the actual park her entire life. But she was cutting across to meet her uncle over in Wyoming. And I said, well, what are you going to do over there? What do you mean? Oh, we're going to shoot prairie dogs. And I said, really? She says, oh, yeah, the same deal you're talking about. You know, the farmers, the ranchers, they want you to. They won't quite pay you to come in, but they won't charge you either. So just, you know. And I said, well, you just take a .22 and fling them? She goes, oh, no. She says, we take something bigger. We kind of like to watch them explode. Thought, that's kind of crude. But then I was talking to a rancher. About a week later, I was up in central South Dakota talking to one of the ranchers, and he started telling me all the issues that he has with cattle and horses both breaking their legs because of the stupid prairie dogs. And I thought, well, okay, so that, you know, that just brings that all together, and now the whole thing makes sense.
That's, I was given woodchucks on a ranch up here by Crystal Creek, the Crystal Lake, or whatever, this campground up here out in the Thumb. Nice little campground, too, good fishing. Anyways, it was about a 250-acre ranch. Oh, and I was trapping them, and you just can't get rid of them all. And they're just like a big, fat prairie dog, but, the prairie dogs got some kind of herpes virus that's spreading through their little colonies, and I suppose it'll slow them down for a while, but it eats them up. It's like an elephant man disease they end up getting from it. But that's slowing them down a little bit, so those guys are probably losing less livestock and horses out there. But, you know, it's horrific thinking you'd have to put a horse down because you're not going to keep a horse off of a broken leg.
No, and that's right. You know, it has to come back to your livelihood and what's more important, you know, these little critter wildlife running around or your livelihood, your livestock. And, you know, we know the answer to that, what's got to be done. No different than it. You know, first time I was at the Badlands, well, first time in 20-some years was about 10 years ago, and there was a big sign up that the prairie, you know, to watch yourself around the prairie dog farms, don't get down there and crawl around because they had the plague. And I went, what do you mean the plague? What plague? She said, the black plague. We've got the plague. I said, wait a minute, the prairie. I said, yesterday I was out there sitting on the ground taking pictures of them, and now you're telling me to have the plague. She says, yeah, we dust for it. And I said, what do you mean you dust for the plague? She says, well, it's carried by the fleas. So as long as you didn't get by a flea, you're safe. But we dust all the prairie dog holes with powder for the fleas. And so, I don't know, about 3 years ago, I was out there again, and it's pretty well been eradicated and taken care of. So modern medicine once again comes through and takes care of a problem. WARD.
You get hot spots where they you know, the growth and Timmy-8-0. Yeah, those in armadillos are pretty bad, But any of those rodents, you know, if they get those fleas that's got it, it spreads really quick. So they have to dust them, and they can dust with just about anything, borax, which there's mines for boron out there, or there used to be. But that takes care of them, and it's fairly pet safe and people safe, and it's even relatively safe for the prairie dogs. I mean, if they eat a bunch of it, you know, it'll give them the squirts, but outside of that, pretty safe, but it rubs the exoskeletons off of those fleas for sure and kills them.
Yeah, I was in Death Valley in February this year, where a lot of the borax at one time, you know, 20 mil team borax, and that's where all that happened out there for the borax mines. But, you know, it's a fascinating country, and anybody that has a chance to go out and travel it, you need to do that.
In fact, those two kids from England that are over here touring around, they're getting a... they get programmed via the media, you know, and then they come here and tour all over down south and up in Michigan. And I'll tell you what, they go out west, they're going to get an eye-opener. It's so big out there, you know. That was the thing that really shocked me out there in Colorado. Was pretty wild. And I've been out to the West Coast, but not as much. I want to go see the Redwoods, and we didn't get to do any of that. I was out there for an alternate energy deal a long time ago, and I got to get back into that, too. But it was wild. San Francisco's weird. You know, they talk about all the fruits and nuts out there, and it's true. There's some strange cats. KV8OOE.
Yeah, I kind of made that quote about 10 years ago. Well, when I did two all the way across, once I got out to Seattle, I went over and did the West Coast down. I've gone 5 weeks that year. And anyway, so I come down across Oregon and I get to California, and all of a sudden, right on the road, it's just, you know, the Pacific Coast Highway, all of a sudden you have to drive through this big pole barn, and I'm thinking, what is this all about? And it's to check to see if you have fruit or, you know, vegetables, whatever you've got. And, you know, and I'm pulling my camper, and a gal says, well, you know, I have to ask, do you have apples or anything like that? And I said, no. I said, what is this? What's it all about? She says, well, you know, this is an inspection station to see if you have what fresh produce. We don't allow anything from Washington or Oregon down, any of the fruits and vegetables down here. And I said, no, I would think not. I said, California's got enough fruits and vegetables. And she looked at me and smiled. She goes, sir, you have no idea.
I'll tell you what. I was right in Berkeley, flew into San Francisco and come across the Bay Bridge and seen the pylons from where that double bridge collapsed from the earthquake out there, and I looked across at Alcatraz and went across and back, $6 back then to cross the Golden Gate. But I was sleeping out there on a couch, basically, because it was a laboratory, it was open air, a lot of it, art space too. And I got up real early and walked out and started looking around and stuff, and there was people crawling out from under stuff everywhere that were just sleeping on the ground.
Yeah, that's California's a land of opportunity for those people. And yeah, I'm not going to get into that whole political thing, but it's as far as I'm concerned, it's a bit of a mess out there. And I'm glad they don't clean it up, because if they cleaned it up, those same weirdos are just going to end up here or in other states messing them up. So California can just go ahead and keep them.
They must have closed their state hospitals, too. Yeah, it's wild out there, that's for sure. All right, Ward, I gotta get some of these starter strips in these frames and then get ready for tomorrow, because we're going to check our board. We're going to check for queen cells, and we've got a batch in an incubator right now. We placed three of them today. and we're probably going to have the rest of about 13 more hatching tomorrow morning. So we're going to have to do some splits, and then we're going to load the kayaks on the roof of the Blazer and back up to the camper and head for the Great White.
Well, 7-3, my friend. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Travel safe, have a good time, and enjoy the great wild northern Michigan experience. W8RD, going that way.
I'll let you know if I'm going to I'm gonna be playing on 40 or 80 for that matter. I got open feed, couple open feed antennas, or balanced feed, I should say. They're not open. I didn't make the feed lines for these ones. Step 3, KB8OOE.
W8CMN, repeater Flint. Good evening, 2000 hours. Clear. 72 degrees. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Good evening, 21 hours. Clear. 66 degrees. W8CMN, repeater Flint. You're connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 22 hours. Clear. 63 degrees. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Good evening, 23 hours. Clear. 63 degrees. W8CMN, repeater Flint.